You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Oh boy.
We did it, Ty. We did it. Australia did it. They've won the gold medal at the World Cup. They've never won a medal in men's major tournament before, but on Sunday they won the gold medal against the USA, 98-94 in Melbourne. I was there. Joe Ingles, legend. Andrew Bogut, playing the best basketball of his whole life. Patty Mills, probably the NBA MVP this year. He looked at Pop right in the eye in the fourth quarter. He had 13 points, and he told his coach to go suck on that one. And Australia took the gold medal in China. Ty, what do you think about that?
I think we have different definitions of what a gold medal is, because this was an exhibition game. But I like the enthusiasm. I like where you're coming from. And this is like, this right here is evidence to anyone who may have still doubted somehow that Kane is a real long-term Bucks fan. Because as a Bucks fan prior to this last season, you had to celebrate any small thing like it was an NBA championship. And I can tell that you applied that mentality to the Boomers in celebrating their exhibition game win over the Bucks. And honestly, I probably would too. Based on the way international basketball goes, like you said, how long it's been since Australia medaled, I'd probably celebrate it that way too. But unfortunately, Australia has not yet won a gold medal. Still possible, technically.
So you're telling me after the game when Donovan Mitchell said that that result actually meant nothing, he was actually correct?
I wouldn't go that far. I think it's still a little disheartening that USA lost at all. I get, like, you know, you play the teams basically played back to back. USA won pretty handily the night before, the game before, whatever. Still, like, I don't love Team USA not winning every single game. Like, it feels like they should, and they are not first in the FIBA World Cup power rankings right now. Also, whoever does those power rankings, tremendous. Like, they're very funny. They're written very casually for power rankings coming, it seems, from the official event itself. And enjoyable read. But yeah, USA now number two, Serbia number one. The last time we recorded, we talked about this. Could the USA possibly lose? Well, according to those power rankings, they're not even the favorite right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you are right. We were talking earlier today, or probably, I guess, yesterday for you, and you said I should have my victory lap. And when you said that, I thought that, yes, I should probably do that. Maybe I won't have a chance again. And I know if both Australia and the USA do go right through to the final, then they're going to run into each other at the final, which would be obviously a whole lot of fun. But it was an interesting week for Team USA. They've just left Australia in the last couple of days and got to China. Only a couple of days now before game one for Team USA, game one for Giannis and Greece. We'll go through all that. But one of the questions we had, and as you said, we did wonder whether they were beatable. And I think that we saw on that game on Sunday that if a number of things go right for another team, and certainly in Australia's case, it was Patty Mills having a monster fourth quarter, and really just big contributions from some of their other better players, Andrew Bogut, Joe Ingles as well, that this USA team could be beat. I still think that this loss maybe is the thing that sparks them to go on a real run, and maybe that's the last loss they have until they win the gold. But I think that it certainly wasn't ideal. I mean, that was their first loss in over 70 games in exhibition games and for a pre-tournament, then in a major tournament. So it's been a long, long, long time. 2006 was the last time they lost. So I don't think that the USA will just sweep that under the rug. And one thing I've always said, as Donovan Mitchell said after the game, that the result didn't mean anything. That's only something you say when you lose. And if you win the game, then you just you take the win. If you lose, you say it doesn't mean anything because it's only an exhibition. But Team USA doesn't lose. So I think that it certainly probably just raises a few more question marks that we already brought up about the team.
No, absolutely. I think, I see your point for sure about, this could be the loss that need to get together. But I almost would rather have had that happen. That was their last exhibition game, right? Or do they have one more after it?
They played one more after that against Canada, and they looked better than they had in the two games against Australia. I mean, Canada is probably less talented than Australia top to bottom, so that might have also been a reason for that, but they did look better.
Yeah, especially this year. I mean, Canada had – it felt like as many guys dropping out as Team USA did, which obviously isn't really true, but it felt close. I mean, they don't have most of their best talent, but – I guess it's good that there was at least one more game. For a second, I thought that was the last game, and that's not what you want. You know, you don't want to hiccup in the very last game before what basically is the playoffs, the tournament. But hopefully that's the case. I mean, I'm not enough of an American homer to where I'd be very frustrated if they lost. I actually think it would be fun if, international play became a little more competitive and teams like Serbia and, hell, maybe Greece at this point. They climbed all the way up to sixth in the power rankings. But if other teams could push them. But what I don't want to see is just kind of a sad sack effort from Team USA. And especially not with $2 on the team, although they're barely playing, it feels like lately. I don't know if Greg Popovich is just conserving his best guys for the tournament or what. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But it is a little worrying that, to me, that they dropped the game. I'm glad they came back and beat Canada, but I'm also a little worried that they haven't played any. Where's Australia in the rankings right now? Are they in the top five? Are they like four?
In those power rankings today, they were number three, which I think obviously has a big reason because they beat Team USA. On the actual FIBA national rankings, I think they're 12, but it's got a lot to do with where you are placed in terms of the world groupings. The FIBA rankings are kind of odd, but either way, I mean, I think that it was a good thing for this Team USA to play a team like Australia, who many people expect are going to be at least a chance for a medal. We will get to the Bucks guys, and it's going to be interesting because I think the big thing that I took away, and I was at the two games in Melbourne against Australia, I didn't get to the third game in Sydney against Canada. But the interesting takeaway for mine is this team has no one that can pass. And I think that there's a legitimate question whether Chris Middleton is the best passer on this team. And that's, I mean, I don't know who else you could say. Yeah, Kemba Walker, sure, but he's certainly a score first guard. Donovan Mitchell is certainly a shoot first guard. So, when you look at guys bringing up the bench, who else there? Derek White. I mean, from sort of top to bottom, when you look at it, they don't really have anyone that can pass the ball. And that ended up resulting in a hell of a lot of isolation play, which certainly in the past, when you look at Team USA teams at the Olympics in particular, if you're talking about LeBron James, Kevin Durant, then sure, that can get you there. But when that turned into being Harrison Barnes Donovan Mitchell jacking shots against a, you know, really pretty good defensive Australian team, that's when they started to look pretty poor.
Yeah, I think just generally, I mean, when the catastrophe happened in 2004, you know, that was the issue there too. The team didn't really gel and it turned into just a lot of isolation, which kind of was the whole ethos of the NBA at that time. But yeah, it is concerning for sure. This is one of the reasons that I was bummed to see De'Aaron Fox go. Because I think even though he's a shooting guard, I think he is a real point guard. You know, he's the kind of guy that's going to get the whole team involved. And this is something that I remember, I don't know if it was on a podcast or just in conversation, but I was talking about earlier, like, they don't have anyone left who is a real, true, feed-everybody lead guard who's going to play a lot of minutes. And or maybe it was before Fox left, and I was saying there's no one besides Fox like that. And that is concerning. I mean, they don't even really have – I mean, Chris is a fine passer, but they don't really even have, like, a point forward either. I mean, it's just – I don't know. This is – I guess this is always one of the challenges when you bring in, you know, a new coach and everything. I mean, Pop, for all that he has done, I don't think has ever done a national team before. I think it's a whole different challenge. You know, a little bit of controversy. I know I've seen some people say that they think Fox ended up leaving Team USA because Derek White was playing over him, even though Fox is clearly the more established player. Maybe a little bit of bias there, considering what team Derek White plays for. But that aside, it is going to be a challenge to figure out how to execute this offense. I mean, Pop has had teams that don't rely on guards before on the Spurs, but he doesn't have, you know, Tim Duncan, and certainly doesn't have the Admiral here. I mean, the bigs on this team are good, but they're just not that kind of big man. They doesn't have any post-up bigs. I mean, Brooke can a little bit, but he doesn't – that's not really his strong suit anymore, and that's not really the way you want to play in international competition when a lot of teams do have some pretty stout big men out there. I think the bigger problem for the international community is their guards, ironically enough. And then Mason Plumlee isn't exactly a, you know – prime Hakeem Olajuwon either. So it's just that they're gonna have to figure out a way to get more out of these wing players, especially. That feels like probably one of Team USA's strengths right now is their wings. But I totally agree, without the means to move the ball better, it is going to be a little challenging to get this offense really humming along.
Yeah, there's no question. And another guy that they were hoping, or maybe expecting, maybe more so hoping, was going to be there was Kyle Lowry, who pulled out very late with the thumb injury as well. So they've certainly had a couple of guys pull out. But yeah, the squad is very bare now in terms of distributing. But speaking of passing, and we will get to the Bucks guys now, Chris Middleton didn't have the best three games in terms of scoring the ball, but he did provide one of the highlights of those three games with what was, in the end, a buzzer-beating alley-oop to Donovan Mitchell in Sydney against Canada. It was a beautiful pass. I commented on the fact we've seen him throw some pretty nice alley-oop passes before, but Middleton, yeah, just struggling to shoot the ball. It's interesting. I was speaking to some of the guys around Team USA when they were in Melbourne, some of the members of the coaching staff, and it was really incredible how seriously they were saying that the FIBA ball, which is a different type of ball, it's that synthetic material, which we know they tried to bring into the NBA, and it lasted about 20 games before the players complained so much that they went straight back to the leather basketball. But they were really early in training camp, really struggling to shoot the ball. They said the guys are starting to come around now, but it's interesting to see that a lot of these guys have not been shooting well, and also secondary to that, playing in the Australian football stadium. It was interesting talking to the guys about sight lines, and they played it down. They certainly weren't making any excuses, but it was certainly noticeable that these guys, good three-point shooters, were not shooting the ball well. Middleton, I think, has been a little bit of a victim of what I was talking about with Team USA in terms of getting caught into isolation basketball, and there's just not a lot of ball movement out there. And there was a couple of times where, to me, it looked like Chris Middleton really would go possession, 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 possession without touching the ball. And then he finally got a touch and he was like, well, I'm getting a shot up here. And that's obviously not what you want to happen, but something that could be a product of what we've just been talking about. But he still certainly feels like he's going to be a pretty major part of the rotation. If he hasn't been starting, he's been pretty much the first one off the bench. So it's very likely that he's going to still play a major part.
I wonder if that sort of, and we've all seen teams that play like that. We all know it's not really the way to go. And I probably more than wonder, I probably know that, you know, this is the kind of thing that happens when you have, 12, I think, on a roster, like 12 new guys on Team USA without that carryover, without that veteran, at least in the international basketball sense, presence. And that, you know, I don't really know who's there that would start barking at these guys. Like, no, you got to move the ball. Like, we got to get that going. I mean, maybe it would be, I mean, like Kyle Lowry would probably be one of the guys, honestly, a veteran point guard who's always been more about the team than himself. And I'm not saying every single guy on the team is selfish, but like Marcus Smart, for example, I don't think is a selfish player one bit, but I also don't think he's going to see the offense in the ways that Kyle Lowry and maybe Fox would. Fox is a little younger, but even still more of a point guard who sees the floor in that certain way. I just don't know who's going to, I mean, obviously the coaching staff, but that you need someone on the floor doing it too. I mean, Jason Tatum is like 17 or whatever. The rest of these guys just really aren't that sort of player. And I just think that's how you get like, all right, you ISO three times, then also ISO twice. And that's really how you can lose to teams who you know are going to play better basketball, like Australia. And like, and I know we don't want to segue to them just yet because we still should talk about Brooke Lopez, the Australian native hero. But the big bad wolf, Serbia, who I've now read has not lost since February. I think they've won like 11 straight games or something. I mean, that's no joke. And they have at least one NBA player at the point guard, the wing, and the center. They have a lot of good other players as well. That team is no joke whatsoever, and they certainly, I think, would take advantage if USA can't get their stuff together.
Yeah, and you're going to see that, particularly with these European teams. And it was just very noticeable watching Australia and Team USA, the way that you know, when you had Dellavedova and Mills and running the point, and then they had forwards like Joe Ingles, a very willing passer, a really good passer. They could run things at the top through Bogut, one of the better passing bigs around. It was just very noticeable that Australia was certainly moving a lot without the ball and looking to pass the ball a little bit more. But with Middleton, this is going to be an interesting thing to watch with him through the World Cup. I think he's going to get more confident as these games go on. I spoke to Greg Popovich about talking to Chris Middleton about being more assertive and understanding that he is one of the best players in this team. He needs to take control and not defer to anyone. And at times early in the tournament, it did look like he was deferring a little bit too much or not being as assertive as he should be. This guy's an all-star, obviously come off a great season with the Bucks, but hasn't been in the Team USA environment before. And that's a whole different kettle of fish. It doesn't matter who is on this team. It's a different situation. So Middleton's a guy that we've seen before can sometimes start a little bit slow, but I thought we saw some good signs in the Canada game. He seemed a little bit more controlled with the ball, made some really nice passes. The shot still wasn't falling, but that'll be something to look forward to heading into game one on Sunday. But you touched on it with Brooke Lopez. I'm sure everyone has seen the video now, but he was a crowd favorite in Sydney. They were chanting his name for pretty much the entire fourth quarter, to the point where Greg Popovich had no choice but to bring this guy on the floor.
I just, like, we don't know, well, we being Americans don't know why. We don't get it. I mean, listen, we totally get, like, why one would cheer for Brooke Lopez in a more usual setting, i.e., when Brooke Lopez has been doing stuff. I mean, the clap gif, people were going nuts in Milwaukee for that. All sorts of other moments when he's getting out there blocking shots, when he hits back-to-back super deep threes. But Brooke Lopez, I can say confidently, didn't hit one three in that entire game. And I know that because he only had 2 points. So I guess we need to turn to UK. And this is weird how relevant your Australianism is right now. Why were your folks going insane for Brooke Lopez in this seemingly very random moment?
So first of all, I will say, and we spoke about this before we started recording, but this was the one game being in Sydney that I didn't get to. And when I was watching on TV, I was with my good friend Eric Naim, who came out to hang out with me for the week and go to these games. And we were somewhere down the coast of just a very lovely location. I think Zach Lowe always talks about a secret location. We were at a secret coastal location in Victoria watching the game. And we were just both like, man, this was the one game we needed to be at where the cold crowd was chanting Lopez. But I had a lot of people ask me why they were doing it. And it's very hard on Twitter to just type this out, my theory why. I wasn't there. I didn't speak to the whole crowd. I don't know exactly why. But my theory is that Australia really has, and they always have with every sport, they love getting behind the underdog. Now, I understand that Brook Lopez just signed a $50 million contract. I understand he's done things that no other big man has done in the history of the game. So he doesn't exactly qualify as an underdog. But let me explain. The point of this is that he didn't come on the floor at all until the third quarter. He came on for at the end of the third quarter. I didn't think he was going to play at all to that point. I even tweeted that given the low minutes he played in the first two games, it looked like he was completely out of Popovich's rotation heading into China. Then he came on the floor late in the third quarter. He scored a couple of points. He had two big blocks that got the crowd going. He grabbed a couple of rebounds and had a really nice assist as well, all in the space of about 3 minutes. He pretty much everything went through Brook Lopez. The crowd got really excited. And then the fourth quarter started and he was back on the bench. And it didn't look like he was going to get back on the floor. So my theory is that the Australian crowd, and I don't know how many people in the Australian crowd, there was about 15,000 people there. I don't know how many of them are real, what you would call hardcore basketball fans that really understand Brook Lopez and how good this guy is. So I think once a few people started chanting for Lopez, it caught on. People thought this guy is a guy that doesn't play. I'm not too sure if that's what it really was. They got behind him. And then it wasn't an Australia game. So as Team USA in Canada, this crowd is just like, well, we're just here to have fun. We don't really care who wins the game. Lopez, everyone's chanting Lopez. I'm going to get behind Brook Lopez. And in the end, what they did worked. Lopez got on the ground. The crowd had a lot of fun. Lopez clearly was having a lot of fun with it. But that's my theory. The fact that he didn't play in the first half, came on, did some really good stuff, got the crowd going. The crowd just decided, we don't give a shit who wins this game. We want Lopez.
See, I could buy that. I think that is a safe bet. And I'm someone who knows a lot about bets, Kane. It's a brand new football season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham Jr. is in Cleveland. This may seem random, but what I'm saying is the one thing that hasn't changed, whether in the NFL or anything, is where I'm putting my money down on all the games. All my bets, big bet guy over here. And I know that my bookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Our Blue Wire podcasters are using mybookie.com/bluewire to sign up this year. You bet your bottom dollar I am. I might lose my bottom dollar, but it's not my bookie's fault. It'd be my fault. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. Gotta love a good prop bet. I don't think anyone bet I'm a Lopez champ, but if they did on MyBookie, they probably would have won pretty big. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. I'm in 2 fantasy football leagues already. It already feels overwhelming, but you, listener, are probably better at that, so you can visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE when creating your account to claim the bonus. You should bet, you should win, and then you should get paid. That's the important third step. Don't forget that one. MyBookie.com/BLUEWIRE. Kane, good bets.
All good bets are winning bets, and you can't win if you don't bet, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I don't know. I'm not much of a gambler myself, but I do, again, because I want to keep on bringing out the fact that Australia beat USA, I do have a number of friends that made quite a bit of money on that game the other day, so certainly worth checking out if you are someone that gets into sports betting. But just with Brook Lopez, now that we've discussed why he has been anointed the new Prime Minister of Australia, now we can get into his playing. And as you sort of touched on it, there has not been a lot. And this is shocking to me. Like, this is, it's incredible. And I can understand, and I thought coming in that Miles Turner could potentially start. And that does make some sense to me. I mean, this guy defensively, if the Team USA want a little bit more versatility, then they can do that. We know the way Brook Lopez played in Milwaukee. They didn't ask a lot for him out in the perimeter. Miles Turner certainly can be disruptive out there. He's got the athleticism to do that. But playing Mason Plumlee in front of Brook Lopez is just an absolute head scratcher to me. I can't figure it out.
Well, Plumlee, actually, contradicting my earlier statement, he has been on Team USA's before, right? I'm pretty sure the last one.
Yeah, he won the gold the last World Cup.
Yeah, so I think that probably has quite a bit to do with it. I would hope. I mean, Mason Plumlee is fine. Like, I'm not even here to rag on Mason Plumlee. But, like, the go-to Mason Plumlee compliment is, like, this guy's one of the best backup centers in the league. It's like, okay, that means he's like the 40th best center in the league. Like, Brook Lopez is one of the best starting centers in the league. Like, Brook Lopez is better than Mason Plumlee at virtually everything that they both do. Mason Plumlee, again, very solid player. Like, he's fine. I'm not here to say Mason Plumlee stinks, but it is disappointing to me as well that, you know, Mason Plumlee has become a guy who's going to get rotation minutes over Brook Lopez. I wonder how much of it is about Team USA. Like, if Brook were on that team as well, maybe he'd be playing more right now. But, you know, I can't even be too mad just because, you know, with how many guys skip international basketball, especially the FIBA years, more people want to play in the Olympics. I guess, based on my crotchety positions that about being grumpy about how many NBA players don't want to play on Team USA, I should support this as a way to say, this is what happens when you play, like, this is good, but it is still a bummer. I just think Brook Lopez is better, and obviously, as a Eurostep host, I would rather watch Brook Lopez. And someone who just enjoys fun basketball, I would rather watch Brook Lopez than Mason Plumlee.
Yeah, no question. I do just think, with the way this team is made up, they're going to want some shooting from the five man as the tournament goes on. So it just doesn't make sense to me to play Plumlee. We know, and this was something that I asked Steve Kerr about, and he laughed when I asked him how Pop was going to react to Brook Lopez jacking up some of these threes. And he said, well, if he makes them, I'm pretty sure Pop will get over it pretty quickly. Popovich, again, confirmed the fact that he doesn't like the three-point shot. He hates the three-point shot, in fact, was his words. But he said that if you don't shoot it, you're not going to win games. So it'll be interesting to see whether that changes. I would have thought that, you know, by game three, the last warm-up game before the World Cup, then he would have wanted to be getting into those rotations, which is why I tweeted out that it wasn't looking good for Brook. But in the minutes that Brook was on the floor, he was just asked to do completely different things than what he would be doing in Milwaukee. They were running a lot of play out on the perimeter with Brook Lopez catching the ball and basically just handing the ball off to the guards curling around a screen. And that's just not what we've seen. We've seen him taking trailer threes, staying in the paint, blocking shots, and really on offense being that perimeter guy and dragging the opposition five out, which I think would be a really valuable move for this Team USA with some of these guys that can get to the rack pretty easily with Walker and Donovan Mitchell. So it was just confusing to see the way they were using him. It certainly was not going to get the best out of him. And it'll be interesting to see whether that changes. I hope that we're going to see a bit more of Lopez, because I think that he's a guy that can really make this team better.
Follow up. I don't know if there's a clear answer to this. No, I think this is probably just a rare bit of a little homerish optimism on my part. Is there any chance that, you know, Middleton, who has played a good amount, he hasn't always started, he's been sort of a sixth man a lot, and Lopez, I've just not played as much as sort of a subterfuge / rest technique before the games really start mattering here in the tournament? Or is there probably a roughly 0% chance of that one?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when you try and read Greg Popovich, he doesn't, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's not generally a coach that is playing games. He's normally pretty straight up, but I don't know. That's certainly something that we'll see. I do think having a guy like Brook Lopez when they do come up against, you know, potentially a Jokic or a Marc Gasol or, you know, any of these guys, maybe that will be a guy that they'll want, and having that big body. It's going to be interesting to see, though, how that plays out. But again, if you are putting on your Bucks fan hat, and I know there's been a lot of Bucks fans that have been a little bit concerned about the fact that there's so many Milwaukee players there anyway, maybe you wouldn't be so upset if these guys don't play a lot. They're out there working out with some really, really good players, getting in good shape, getting plenty of shots up, and not being out of the floor in the games. Maybe that's the positive spin you can put on this if they don't play a lot.
There's one other positive spin as well. I mean, everyone on Twitter, despite there being two very prominent Bucks on this team, continues to post about how either Team USA wins or the Boston Celtics lose. And I'm just quietly sitting over here like, absolutely, those. I can't believe the Celtics going to let down the whole nation again. So that's just, I think, what I'm going to roll with, is it's totally Boston's fault if Team USA loses at some point or doesn't gold. I just think that's hilarious, because what is there? Is there one or two more Celtics? I mean, there's Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, yeah. Smart's kind of hurt, and then Jaylen Brown. So I guess there's two more.
Yeah.
Because Smart did make the team despite being banged up, right?
Yeah, Smart's back. He started one of the games in Melbourne. So yeah, he had some ankle issues, but again, he didn't play a lot against Canada, but he's certainly okay to play. So yeah, it's a really heavy Celtics team. And I will say, if you're a Bucks fan that does not like the Celtics, you know, try and enjoy some Jason Tatum shot selection during these games, because I can tell you it was not good in Australia. He was taking some of the worst shots I've ever seen. So exactly. So you can get some enjoyment out of that. But speaking of guys, the opposite to guys that aren't playing, Giannis is playing. And as we all know, he does not know how to take his foot off the gas at all. This guy is just, I haven't seen a lot, but I did watch the game against the Dominican Republic the other night. And honestly, he was playing like it was the NBA playoffs. He was playing that hard. And that surprises no one, but he's taking this stuff pretty seriously.
He almost got in a fight in that game, didn't he?
He was angry. I don't know. He was there was a bunch of Dominican defenders trying to take turns on playing on Giannis. Giannis was just grabbing the ball in the post. They were all like 6'7", 6'8". I mean, they were tiny dudes, like in comparison to Giannis, that is, obviously. And Giannis was just doing whatever he wanted. They'd foul him. Giannis was getting really pissed off about it. He already picked up one tech. And then, I mean, I don't know how he didn't get a second one. He was getting in everyone's face. He was angry. He was yelling at people. For a second, I thought he was about to get ejected from a World Cup warm-up game against the Dominican Republic. I mean, it was kind of strange, but he's certainly taking it seriously. And we know the way he feels about not only playing for Greece, but getting the chance to play with his brother. But in that game, he had 26 points in 23 minutes. And he just, I mean, you know, against the most of these nations, there's going to be no one that can come close to stopping him.
I love it so much. I mean, I don't think anyone who has a brain was worried about Giannis, quote unquote, getting soft or anything after reaching the pinnacle of regular season performance, you know, the best record in the NBA and the MVP award. Obviously, he still has goals he wants to hit, but I mean, one of his goals, I think, is to be the greatest ever. So I don't think he's ever going to lose that fire, but there's always a little concern. I mean, James Harden won MVP and kind of got fat the next offseason, and it cost the Rockets. You know, these things can happen. Maybe that was after a second MVP. Whatever. James Harden, not exactly an off-season superstar in terms of basketball stuff. In terms of from other activities, maybe he is, but not basketball. But Giannis just clearly still has that fire, clearly thinking he's the baddest MF in the world in basketball, which, I mean, right now sort of he is. And listen, I'm all for it. I hope Giannis comes back a little bit meaner. Dunk on people with a little more vengeance. You know, keep on going. Keep on pushing. I mean, don't lose the team aspect. Obviously, we know how important ball movement and everything is for the Bucks. You don't want to watch him ISO every time. But if Giannis comes back with even more of an edge, maybe with a medal, it's possible. I'm all for it. I think it can do nothing but help the Bucks and cause him to dunk on even more fools this coming season.
Yeah, and I certainly agree. And outside of just physically overwhelming, and again, it was Dominican Republic, but I will say that he was making the right pass, and there was it was very obvious that Giannis could have just got the ball every single time and got fouled or scored, but he was making a lot of passes out of the post. And yes, it was against smaller guys, but remember the troubles that he had against Toronto. He's obviously well aware of that, and his passing came advanced so much over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. And again, the other night was a really good sign that he is going to continue to progress as a passer, and that only means good things for the Bucks. I will just touch on one thing. I know I saw some people talking that he missed the game with knee soreness. It's certainly what was reported anyway. Obviously, I'm not in China, so I don't, you know, I haven't spoken to Giannis or anything like that, but it was on a back-to-back, and I know there's some history there with the Greek national team, but certainly not a surprise to me that Giannis would not play in a back-to-back in warm-up games before the World Cup has even started. Whether that came from Giannis saying he didn't want to play, whether it was the national team holding him back, whether it was the Bucks, you know, I don't know, you know, what the case was there. The Bucks have certainly got some of their medical staff there, as they did in Australia as well. So, look, Giannis is being looked after. He's taking care of his body, and I don't think it's something to worry about. I just would not expect that he would play back-to-back at that point of preparations.
No, definitely not. As much as he loves winning and playing, and obviously Greece, yeah, there's absolutely no reason to play a back-to-back, especially, you know, some of the Bucks guys, you know, playing Australia twice. It's a different story. I mean, Team USA is just such a deeper team that, you know, Pop can sort of switch around his starters and make sure no one plays too many minutes. But pretty freaking obvious, Giannis is the focal point on Team Greece. And you don't want, I mean, if he plays, it's pretty hard to tell him, hey, just take it easy, go out there for 20 minutes. I don't think he understands how that works. So either Giannis is going to play, you know, 28 minutes hard as hell and try to fight two guys, or he's not going to play at all. So, yeah, I think the smarter thing is not to play him. Unrelated, less serious note, I may have been inquiring with some of my European friends on how I can get one of those Hellas jerseys, a Giannis Team Greece jersey. One of the cleanest jerseys I've ever seen. I like the Bucks designs. I don't really wear or buy Bucks stuff much anymore. But just because, I don't know, you know, we podcast, it's just kind of weird. Obviously, I'm not going to, like, wear it to a game ever. Hopefully, if I'm at a game, I'm credentialed, so I'm wearing like a sweater or something, but vaguely presentable. But those Greece jerseys with the blue and white are just so crisp, and I don't know where to get them. If any of the listeners know, I would preferably have a reputable source. My Googling, my deep research, aka two pages on Google, I didn't recognize any of the vendors. I got scared. I unplugged. But if anyone has a line or some good info, those things are crisp. I would very much consider purchasing one of those for the right price.
Yeah, I don't know. Am I wrong in saying that they haven't always? I haven't always seen those jerseys with the pinstripes, right?
I feel like not. I mean, they look like some like '90s Magic jerseys or something. I mean, obviously the color is kind of inverted, but they look great.
Yeah, they do look great, and I'm glad that you said look great, because one of our other friends from the Bucks, Ersan Ilyasova, has been putting up some numbers with Turkey. The ageless Ersan Ilyasova just continues to just do stuff. He just does stuff. He hits threes. He rebounds. He's been putting up some really big numbers, top scoring in a couple of the warm-up games for Turkey, who, again, is going to have a pretty decent team. So when we talk about Milton and Lopez and Giannis, obviously the three main focuses, obviously Ersan, he's going to play a really, really major role for Turkey, and Thanasis as well for Greece. He's going to be out there. He shot 5 for 9 from three in one of the warm-up games, which is always nice to see. I would like to see a little more than just one hot night, but certainly... certainly a good sign for him, and his shot looked pretty good. So we're going to get to the games. I've got the schedule for everyone so they can jot it down or remember when the games are going to be. It's going to be early mornings or very late nights for you guys over there, but lots of Bucks players that are going to be playing, which is, I think, is pretty fun.
Yeah, I do too. I think it'll be good to get to watch. It's always fun to watch a guy like Ersan, who, you know, on the NBA team, not really that pivotal of a contributor anymore. I mean, he's important, but he's not like one of the top four guys. always fun to watch a guy like that go over to his national team and all of a sudden take on a different expanded role. I find enjoyment out of sort of getting a different look at some of these players in a different environment. I think it's really fun, and it can enlighten you a little bit on what some of these guys are capable of, even if compared to NBA competition, they don't look the best.
Yeah, and again, the European style is just so fun to watch. These guys love playing for their countries, and for the most part, a lot of these teams have played a lot of basketball together, and I think it shows, and that's certainly one of the challenges for Team USA. I mean, most of the other countries at least have some chemistry there, and it still needs to build in this version of the tournament, whether it's World Cup or Olympics, but that's not a luxury that Team USA will have this time. So they're going to have to get off to a quick start. But before, I was just going to read out the schedule and then sort of look to wrap it up. Was there anything else you wanted to get off your chest about this World Cup preparations or any other random stuff on your mind?
I don't know if I have anything else right now. Here, we'll cover the herd in this podcast. We can put it in the description. The Erie Bayhawks had their expansion draft. They did not select any herd. Really, it's just rights at this point. I mean, so they took Trey Burke for some reason. I don't think Trey Burke's going to end up in the G League again, but they didn't take anyone that the herd held rights to. So herd fans, breathe easy. They didn't lose the rights to any players in this expansion draft.
Well, that is, I guess, good news for the herd. And they, so the schedule is out that season. Do you know off the top of your head? Have you got that when the herd tipping off?
Oh, I actually don't.
It is in line with the NBA season. It's not far after that, right?
No, I think it's November.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we'll have the Bucks as the 22nd or later in October this year, but the herd should be not too far after that.
Yeah, no, I'm almost positive it's November. They have a pretty balanced schedule, except a very heavy February for their home games, at least. It's like 4-5-4-7-4, and then that's about it for the season after that. So should be a good season. Again, like I said in the last podcast we talked to her, I'm pretty optimistic. But yeah, that'll schedule's out. You can make plans to come out to Oshkosh for a game and take in Chase Buford's rookie season as a head coach.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the pod. It's all going to come around really quickly now. It's kind of ridiculous how fast it has come. And the World Cup is going to take us right up to the NBA tip-off. So that kicks off this weekend. There's a bunch of games, as we said, that you need to look for. Starting with Team USA, they're going to take on the Czech Republic. That's going to be Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. Central Time, Sunday morning. So not too bad. Maybe some of you will just be getting home and you can just stay awake and watch Team USA, or you can get up early. But I do know for the Team USA games that NBA TV are going to cover those. And they're also, you can always stream these games on the FIBA website. So when people ask where you can get it from, you go on the FIBA website or the FIBA YouTube channel, and you should be able to get those, which will help you with the other countries' games as well. So that's Sunday, 7:30 for Team USA. Giannis will be playing at the same time, 7 o'clock tip-off for that one. So just a little bit earlier, Greece are playing Montenegro in that one. And then Ersan Ilyasova will play even earlier. They play Japan Sunday morning, 3:30 a.m. Central. So I'm not sure how many of you guys will be up to watch Ersan in that one. But if you miss Ersan on Sunday, do not fear, because you can watch him on Tuesday morning at 7:30 a.m. Central, because Turkey with Ersan Ilyasova are taking on Team USA with Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton. We're going to get our first look at some maybe, I don't know, Chris Middleton, Ersan Ilyasova battles, Ersan Ilyasova, Brook Lopez battles.
That's going to be a lot of fun. If you wake up at 3 a.m. to watch Ersan Ilyasova on Sunday, please let us know. Only if you're in Central Time. If you're over in a place where it makes sense to watch that game, that's cool. That's neat. Not as impressive. If you are in Wisconsin or in the USA, I guess anywhere in the USA, it doesn't have to be Central Time. 4 a.m. is still pretty early if you're on the East Coast. But if you wake up specifically to watch Ersan Ilyasova and Turkey play basketball on a Sunday, so you said Sunday, one of the few sleep-in nights most people get. If you askew that to watch Ersan Ilyasova, let us know. We need to put you on some sort of a list. just we need to know that you are all about this basketball stuff. We need to just like feed our content directly to your email inbox or something, because that is probably one of the more outrageous things I've ever even thought about doing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm lucky. I've got my Sunday is set. I've got Australia tipping off against Canada at 5:30 p.m. I've got Ersan tipping off at 6:30 p.m. Giannis tipping off at 10 p.m. and then Team USA at 10:30 p.m. So I am. My Sunday is set. I need two TVs set up. I'm going to watch Australia leading up into all those Bucks guys on Sunday night here. So it's going to be fun. It's one of the rare times that living in Australia, you get the advantage of the time zone. But like I said, there's only a couple of days till that. So it's going to be fun. We're going to be able to watch some real basketball and talk about some real basketball. So me and Ty will be back with the Eurostep over the next few weeks, getting more regular now as we've got some real stuff to talk about. And obviously it's only going to ramp up from there. But Ty, it's always good to catch up with you and talk about some basketball games for the first time in a while.
It always is, Kane. And, you know, if you enjoyed this, you want to know, when are you guys going to be dropping episodes? We're looking right now at Thursday, today, as this drops, being our sort of regular point throughout the week. We'll always look to add stuff in as necessary. You know, we want to make sure everything is covered here. But Thursday is a day where you can comfortably, I think we can say, do you agree?
Yeah, Thursday you can lock that in.
Comfortably?
You can lock that in Thursday, and then as you sort of said, as the World Cup ramps up, and then obviously NBA season, we'll get back to our usual two or three a week.
Absolutely. We're here for you guys, the listeners. We're always excited to put forth these episodes. Get people's feedback. If you have any, feel free to tweet at either of us. Kane's new handle, I believe now, is just Kane Pittman NBA.
Yes. No, not NBA. I didn't check NBA. Oh, just Kane.
Just Kane Pittman.
Yeah.
That's easy to remember then. At Kane Pittman, at Ty Windish, where you can find us on Twitter. Make sure to subscribe to the Eurostep wherever you listen to podcasts. It's pretty much everywhere. Share it with your friends, everything else. We always appreciate that. With nothing else to say, on behalf of myself and an Australian champion, as every Australian is after their almost basically, you know, gold medal finish, beating Team USA in an exhibition game. There it is. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.